A number of people this morning and last night at the Mass have, you know, come up to me and say, "Hey, Father Mark, I know, you know, Father Don being gone, how's it been going taking care of Heidi?" And I just stare at him, thinking, Father Don knows better not to even ask me to watch Heidi while he's gone. Heidi's taken care of by someone else. He knows not, he doesn't trust me. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask that you maybe unveil or open our eyes in a new way as far as what happens here at Mass. Open our hearts in a new way of the gift that it is that you've given us in the Eucharist. Help us to be quick to lay our burdens and our concerns that we have walked in this church with, to lay them at the altar. In Jesus' name we pray. Mass is so boring. A phrase that I often echoed while I grew up, if I didn't maybe say it verbally, I certainly was thinking it as I sat in the pews staring at the ceiling and the walls, thinking, who's pitching for the Cubs today? You know, is the wind blowing in? Is the wind blowing out? Right, is it going to be a high-scoring game? Low-scoring game? I was speaking with a couple a few days ago in the office, and they're both born and raised Catholic, but both over the last couple years have begun to attend Calvary Church. The main reason they said was because Mass is boring. And no judgment passed there at all, as I told them and talked with them, had a great conversation, told them, like, I don't blame them. And they just don't know, just like I didn't know growing up. Main reason, it's the reason why a month and a half ago, on the Feast of Corpus Christi, we invited all parishioners, everyone, to go on the website and to click on and take advantage of one of the six resources to help better our understanding of the Eucharist and what happens. And many have done that, right? Just this past Thursday night, the Bishop Barron's Bible study ended, which I think 70 participants walked through Bishop Barron and with the study of the Eucharist, and others, you know, purchasing the books or reading them, downloading the books, listening to audio talks, letters, phone calls, emails written here saying, Father Mark, I've taken up your challenge. I picked up this book or that book. One of the resources, Jesus, Jewish Roots of the Eucharist by Dr. Petrie. I read it compared to how I grew up my entire life in the church, going to Mass my entire life, going through religious ed. My eyes have been opened in a new way. I come to Mass with a completely different perspective now. Praise God. So you may have noticed today, or we've been in the Gospel of Mark now for the last number of months. We're in the year of Mark, so all year really we're in the Gospel of Mark, but we take this abrupt exit from Mark, and we're thrown into the Gospel of John today, the Deacon Art read. And not just anywhere in the Gospel of John, but the sixth chapter of John. And we're going to be in this one chapter, the sixth chapter. Every verse will be proclaimed over this weekend and all of August, just in this one chapter of John, and then we'll go back to Mark. The sixth chapter of John, widely known as the Bread of Life Discourse, where Jesus gives his most profound teaching on the gift of himself made present under the appearance of bread and wine. So as we enter these 5 weeks of being in just chapter 6 of John, I thought it would be helpful to lay a little bit of a foundation, or maybe to take a look from a 10,000-foot perspective of John chapter 6, and instead of just jumping in on it right away. As a priest friend of mine puts it, Scripture is a drama. And like any great drama, there are things that happen early on that find fulfillment later on. And the same is the case with the Scriptures. The New Testament brings to fulfillment things that happened in the Old Testament, right? Things that seemed random end up shedding light on what happens later. So in hopes that we better understand the Eucharist, to better understand these upcoming 6 weeks, and in hopes to become less like me in the pews of what the heck is going on and thinking about the Cubs or some other baseball teams. So let's get like a little bit of a very quick, and I do mean quick, scriptural framework maybe to work from. So it can be said that the entire Old Testament has a center. It has something that which all of the Old Testament is either looking forward to, looking back on, or it's describing it happening. And that center of the Old Testament is an event. That event is the Exodus. So the Exodus is where God delivered and rescued his people, the Israelites, from slavery in Egypt. Where God delivered his people from the rule of a tyrant, Pharaoh. And that event, which is the center of the entire Old Testament, everything looking forward to it, looking back upon, or describing it, that event has connected with it a meal. And that meal has been given instructions, or the instructions have been given by God through Moses and how to celebrate that meal. And the meal is more than just a mere meal, right? It's a sacrifice. The meal is the eating of a spotless lamb that is slaughtered, the blood is sprinkled upon the doorposts, and whose flesh is consumed in a meal that we know as the Passover, which is referenced the beginning of the 6th chapter of John that was Deacon Art proclaimed today. What's important to note is this. The meal, when the Jewish people celebrate it, even to this day, makes the event present. So the devout Jews, when they celebrate the Passover today, they understand that they themselves are being rescued from slavery from Egypt. They understand that the event is happening for them at the present time. This is really important to know and to know. So the Greek word, right, that describes this is anamnesis. And when we translate that Greek word to English, we translate it to memorial, which is a problem. Because when we hear the word memorial, right, we think of memory. So we think in this case that it would be like something that God did 3,000 years ago. But it's actually a word that means an event that, although it happened a long time ago, you and I are now contemporaries of it. So this is really important now as we turn to the New Testament. The New Testament also has a center, one event, to which everything is preparing for, looking back upon after it happened, or describing it happened. And this event, which is the center of the New Testament, is also the deliverance of a people. Not just the Jewish people, but all people. And this event is also the deliverance from slavery. Deliverance of slavery from sin. And the event is also a deliverance from a tyrant. Not Pharaoh, but Satan. This event is the death and resurrection of Jesus. That's the event that is the center of the entire New Testament, and in a way we can say the entire Bible. And this event also has connected with it a meal. Except the instructions, right, to this meal wasn't given to Moses by God. This one was given by God himself in the flesh, in Jesus. Right, so the institution narrative that we hear at Mass every time, right? Take this, all of you, and eat of it. This is my blood, or this is the blood of my covenant. Do this in memory of me, or do this in anamnesis of me. In other words, when you do this, don't just remember But don't just vaguely remember. As I say oftentimes, if it's just a matter of vaguely remembering the crucifixion, right, then stay. Like this morning, you could have just woke up from the alarm, had a nice breakfast, and just chilled out at home, like stayed at home, because you can remember this from home. But it's not just remembering, it's making it present, which means what? Which means right now, at every Mass, you and I are at the foot of the cross. Not in our imagination, but sacramentally presented here again, but now in an unbloody manner, the cross, the empty tomb. So what do we do? What's this mean? Well, maybe what do we do this week? I suggest these two things. First, if you haven't chosen one of those six options on the website, and now I guess it would be five options because the Bible study is over, it's not too late to have the veil lifted from our eyes a little bit more of what happens here at Mass. To dive in and maybe download or purchase one of those books or listen to the audio to or from work. If you don't know what I'm talking about, say you didn't hear that homily or wasn't here out of town that weekend or just didn't come to Mass, you can find that homily online or just go olmercy.com and see those Eucharist resources. The second thing, the last thing, as I said, my eyes were all over the place, right? And bouncing off the ceiling and the walls, and that's natural. But I suggest at this Mass, stare at the crucifix, especially during the consecration at this Mass. Lock your eyes upon it. As you do, know that we are not here just before a wooden carving, but we're at Calvary. And because of that, the Lord is saying, bring it to me. Like, what weighs on you this morning? What is pressing down upon you this morning? Give it to me. Place it at the foot of the cross. Place it on the altar. Right? So every Mass, the priest has an intention. Deacon Art will soon, when he comes over here and we pray the petitions at the very end, he'll say who this Mass is being offered for. That is who I am offering this Mass for. But the same is the case for you. This is why it's so important to try to get to Mass a little bit early, even if it's a couple minutes before the bell, to kneel down before him, to help collect, like just to bust out the noise for a minute and say, Lord, like just orientate ourselves of like, okay, where am I at here? Was this just, it's because it's so easy just to come and like in this rote, just routine of, and just memory of, I'm going to be here at the foot of the cross, before the empty tomb. Lord, help me kind of block things out here. Who is it that you want me to place on the altar? That is, who is struggling in my life maybe? Who is in a tough spot? Who maybe is in the cave? Who needs a Navy SEAL? To put them there at the foot of the cross and have his precious blood wash over them. Maybe it's ourselves. But with that, without that, hopefully, as a parish family, we become more in tune with that and that reality, and our eyes are veiled a little bit more of what happens here at Mass. So may our eyes be opened a little bit more to the gift that Christ has been given to us in the Eucharist. And just to see what he wants to do in your life and mine. May we be amazed today. And not bored.